the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here. Welcome to my show, my weekly podcast, where I discuss all things, not some things, all things related to health and happiness, how to live better in the modern world. And by modern world, I really mean nutty nut nut is what I mean by modern world. If you hear me throw around the term modern world living, modern world food, it's because it's nutty nut nut. Okay, if you're just joining me, you'll get used to the nutty nut nut. It's what we talk about here. It'll sound weird. And then in like 2 weeks, you'll just be like, that's nutty nut nut. And then you'll just immediately be like, what did I just say? It seeps into the consciousness, and that's my underlying goal here. I have a secret mission, which is to infuse that into the urban vernacular. I've been mildly successful thus far. Welcome. If you are just joining me, just hang tight, okay? Because it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I do talk about all sorts of things related to how to literally get up tomorrow morning and live better. More on that, obviously, today, especially one of these episodes where I get in a little bit of that today. I talk about taking moments for yourself, learning how to do that better and more often over time via my small steps approach to health and happiness. Yes, that involves the particulars of moving our bodies. And yes, that involves the particulars of eating healthy food, of course. But it's a bigger picture than any one thing. And I try to take broad strokes in this podcast as a way to provide you with this kind of thinking, and then let other podcasts and books and shows fill in the particulars of the ways to live healthy and happy. Okay? Am I being vague enough? Is there a vagary? Yes. Fine. Good. We'll get into more detail. Trust me. I'll start to fill in the, when I use the word thing, I'll start to discuss what that thing actually means. Sure. Of course. This episode is sponsored by Health Made Simple. It is a meal plan of sorts with nutritional support that I created with my bud, Matt Frazier, the no meat athlete. He and I are very similar in the sense that I have, you know, some followers and he has just a ton of, just, it's not even, I think he would prefer that I just threw out rose petals in front of him as he walked. Like that's how we should behave when we're together. I should just be throwing out rose petals and just fanning him when he's slightly warm is what I should be doing. Instead, we're friends and we created this pretty damn cool product of sorts. It's got five different plans and that you follow and or not, but really you follow at your own anyway. It's hard to explain, but we really wanted to people to small step into this particular thing. Yes, this deals with food. And that's how I can discuss other things on this podcast, because if you really want to know a ton about food, sign up for that thing, because it is awesome, and I wouldn't stand behind it unless I did think it was awesome. If you are just joining me, you will know that I do not promote, I'm not sponsored by anybody in terms of, I don't have like a financial, I've recommended products and stuff. I'm not connected to anybody financially or otherwise. This is something I created myself with Matt, like I said, Health Made Simple. So if you're interested in that, checking it out and want to get started on how to live and eat more likely, more you know, accurately well, then you would just go to nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. That's the nomeatathlete.com. So nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. You can find out all about that. It's affordable, fun videos and recipes, like 85 recipes and plans that suit your deal. A lot of it tailored to people like me and Matt, which are busy with families and want to spend actually less time in the kitchen. We help you craft, week to week, kind of what we do with in our own lives. Okay, good. Got it. Okay, great. Fine. iTunes reviews, you go to iTunes, apparently. This is what I've heard from the kids. And you push a star, and then you write a review if you want. Don't have to. But they've been coming in, and I really appreciate it. You guys have some very nice things to say, and I hope that that's, didn't take you too long to do that. But it really does help the podcast. It's one of the ways to support this podcast and my efforts to help, hopefully, you. Otherwise, why would you be here? I mean, your mom might have told you to, but you don't have to do what she does unless you're under 18. You can go to SidGarzaHillman.com and get a free chapter of my book simply by putting your email address in the upper right-hand corner. I will be updating my website soon. Like, it's, my wife's a graphic designer, and we've both just been like, holy God. It's, I mean, it was, I think it was designed like before websites came into existence. That's not true. It looked okay the day it launched, and then it just became out of date. So we're going to redo that, and that'll be nice and a little more good. Okay. Mushroom coffee. You know what the mushroom coffee people did? They weren't okay with their Four Sigma was the company name. Speaking of which, I'm not connected to them. God, it's like, I'm never connected to them. You'll hear if I am. Okay? Just from now on. But anyway, they changed their brand name to Four Sigmatic. Was Four Sigma? They weren't happy with that. Four Sigmatic. I drink the old mushroom coffee there. It's got cordyceps. It's got shaga in it. And a little bit of coffee. It's like a trifecta of awesomeness for me. Like, I love mushrooms and I love coffee. So it's all in one place. Again, just whatever. People have emailed me asking me what that brand was. So there you go. Okay. They should sponsor me. I'm not saying that. But Coca-Cola stepped in before Four Sigmatic. And I was like, well, Coca-Cola. You know, I mean, what can I can't say no to Coca-Cola. You can also on my website donate to this here podcast, and I have gotten some donations of late. Thank you. I've also sold a few t-shirts, mugs, and bracelets. WWID, what would I do? You put that bracelet on, you're in a bind, in a pickle, as it were. You look down, like, what would I actually do here if I was all things being equal, fully me? What would I do? And it's a reminder. I got one on my wrist right now. I'm looking at it. You can also buy a custom signed chapter of my book. Good night, Johnny. This is exhausting. Okay, I head up the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn. Go to StanfordInn.com. Okay, find out all about that stuff. I'm the nutritionist there, by the way. I will be at the World Vegan Summit, worldvegansummit.com. Sometime I will be speaking July 29th and 30th, but I will probably be both there both days because I'll be at the Stanford Inn table, but I'm also speaking at one of the whatevers. And I'll be at the Edinburgh Veg Fest, veganfestival.co.uk. August 20th and 21st. I got a bud, a podcast listener who I'm looking forward to meeting actually in Berkeley at the World Vegan Summit. But she's from New Zealand and she has a friend that lives in Scotland. I mean, this is the beauty of the podcast. Am I right? The beauty of just the internet, and it's just, they have it in, apparently just wires stretched to all countries now. So she has got a couple leads for me for a couch to sleep on in Edinburgh. But if anybody else wants to get in on that, you know, the night, I'll just have a, like a raffle of which is the best couch. It will be a contest, a couch contest. Any couch that has a bottle of scotch on it probably will win. World Veg Fest, October 8th and 9th. Atlanta Veg Fest, November 12th. In theory, I would have websites for those people, but I don't. I mean, they have websites. Atlanta Veg Fest, probably, if you just Google that, and World Veg Fest in San Francisco. Okay. That's in October, Atlanta in November. Okay. Okay. All social media, you go to SidGarzaHillman.com. No, you just go to SidGarzaHillman for all social media. Okay. So, new YouTube video, and this is going to get me into the business already of this week. I hope that wasn't too painful. All those announcements that I do. This is a new YouTube video, still on my kind of once a week, like pretty religiously almost, weird, because that wasn't on my radar and now it is, and I really enjoy it. That's first and foremost. I think it serves well as a tweener. You know, like you got the podcast, that's every Monday night, just period. Every Monday night, Tuesday morning, you know, whatever, people get it either Monday night or Tuesday morning. But I just do it every Monday night, like period. I don't think I've missed a night, knock on wood. Come in for like 2 years, three years. And I didn't even miss it a week. I just missed by maybe one day because I didn't have internet or something like that. And so now the YouTube's kind of emerging as this thing that I do every week and really, really digging it. But I think it's kind of like a short in between. You get the podcast, it's an hour-ish. And then in between when you're like, you know, you start out the week really well and you're like, okay, I got this. And then midweek, you just find yourself in a pool of Hostess, you know, and you're like, what do I do? YouTube, boom, 4.5 minutes. Oh, re-energized reminder of who you already are. And you're like, oh, that's right. That's who I, yes, I knew that. And you're back on the business till Monday stretches you through. What's in between those kinds of events? The world. The nutty nut nut world that's just selling you stuff and making you afraid and telling you what you want to hear. And that's all that. And then I come in and just go, here's what you already know. Now, maybe that's what you want to hear, but so fine. I do tell, maybe I tell you what you want to hear. But I think it's a more empowering message than the things you kind of know deep down that aren't good for you. They're good for you. Because I don't think that's an empowering message. I think you know what's good for you. And you don't need somebody to tell you the particulars. I'm here to tell you you got the power. I'm here to tell you you got the strength. And I hope that this podcast serves as a reminder each week to remind you of that. I wish you guys didn't need reminders. I wish myself that I didn't need reminders. I wish I didn't need a steps list. I wish that things were so kind of balanced in the world and honest and forthright that I didn't need to take as much effort as I do to live healthy and happy. But it's just what it is. And I'm tired of wondering why that is. And more on that in a minute. I'm just exhausted by trying to figure out why. I'm more just like, yeah, okay, that's how it is. Fine, good. Then I'm freaking doing it and feeling good as a result. Speaking of which, I'm on a dial back day today. My integrated exercise, real quick, you guys. So what I talked about, if you're just joining me, integrated, I'm a runner and I run mildly, but I also integrate exercise and movement throughout my day. Right now, it's in the form of push-up squats, which I'll do a few every hour, you know, during the day. Some days I do pull-ups. And I lowered them significantly during the race and meal plan launching because I was so stressed and couldn't do it. Took a little break, didn't sweat it because it's my most of the time that I'm concerned with. And my most of the time still was untouched. I took a couple weeks off. That's it. That ain't the most of the time. Got it? Lowered it down. I'm back in, but I am seeing a rapid ascent. And what I mean by that is I lowered it significantly down. So I was doing 25 pushups, 25 squats, 7 times a day, and up to like almost 10 pull-ups. I cut that down just to get back into the swing of things, down to like 10 pushups and 10 squats, like over half, just slashed it. I'm back up to 14. I was up to 13 last week and just added another one this week. The thing about it is I've got the physical strength to go right back up to 25. I mean, I physically am strong enough to do that. It wasn't that much of a break from not doing that, but I'm not mentally there yet. I'm not mentally there for whatever reason. Again, I'm not asking. I just know. It was stressing me out. The idea of doing 25, that was enough. No, thank you. I don't need more stress. So I lowered it back down, but I am ascending pretty quick. And that's kind of what happens. So with clients, sometimes with their steps list, if they're traveling, let's say, I'll often coach them to slash their steps list pretty significantly upon their return, just to get back in the swing of things of running a steps list and maintaining a steps list. And quickly what they do is they pop right back up to what they were pre-trip pretty fast, within a matter of weeks, if not a month or two. Still, guys, drop in the bucket of your whole life. So that's just been my experience over and over again and again here. But guess what? I'm doing the integrated exercise, and that's the ball game, okay? Same with the dial back day. Took some times off of the dial back day and just for those few weeks just to get up to all my brain power was in the race and the meal plan. And so now I'm back with both and things have leveled out. Slim Jims. You think, oh, he forgot because he discussed Slim Jims last week. I didn't forget. Here's what happened. I stand corrected because last week, if you guys know, I went to a hardware store and there was a woman behind the counter eating a Slim Jim. And I remarked about how just how that's like so anachronistic, like who eats Slim Jims? Nobody eats Slim. She does, but that was amazing. And I was like, that's very old school. That's what I told her. So I fly to San Diego on Friday night to pace my buddy Sid, not a dog, by the way, she's a woman. And so there I'm on my way. I fly in Friday morning. She's already running at this point. And I jump in a rental car and I drive out and I have no food, no water. So I pull off at this gas station to get some of said food and water. By the way, you can't find, it's too hard. Okay, I got some Clif bars. I got some nuts. They were salted. It's one freaking day, but it's not a Twinkie. Got it? So pretty good. Like, you know, Clif bars, they've got fruit. This is a gas station, by the way, in the middle of nowhere. This is not in a fancy pants area. This is literally in the middle of nowhere, you guys. And it's a one-off. Okay. And they have water. Amazing. They also have Coke. Didn't get that. I will from now on because they're sponsoring me. It's great for you. So I'm standing in line. I got my stuff. In front of me, I'm not kidding, in front of me, this guy is buying two Slim Jims. I Stand corrected. I thought these were like off the radar. I also thought bacon was, but I apparently I don't have a pulse on the whims and whimsy of the world. Like I'm just not in touch with what the kids are doing. Apparently they're doing Slim Jims and bacon. It's amazing to me. So if you guys like Slim Jims, go have at it. I just thought that that was like the way of Zips shoes. Like almost sometimes I see people wearing Zips. I'm not in touch. Apparently I'm not hip enough to know that Slim Jims are back in the forefront of the United States experience, the American experience. So if you guys are in Germany and France and, even New Zealand, this is what's happening, okay? We're in charge of the world. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying via Slim Jims. What I told you last week was that I was going to be discussing my pacing experience with my buddy Sid. Not a dog, by the way. She's not a dog. So I flew down there, got there, and she was kicking some butt, actually, and for a while. And then just the day, I got out at that gas station to get my snacks, and I was in a car and with, like, the fan on and stuff. And I got out, and my face melted off my body. It was so hot, and I went, oh, this is not going to be good, because I wasn't even as inland as I ended up getting. It was hot as a mother, and I am just not talking about a kombucha tea mushroom. I'm talking about just hot, hot mom. And so I got to the start where the start had been, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to be in pain. Like it was so hot. We live northern California, like way north of San Francisco, and we're at best when we run, it's like 40 sometimes when we start and maybe 60-ish when we finish. Like this is brutal. So I had a feeling. Anyway, during the day, she started to run into some trouble. I could tell because her crew was giving me reports like, there was one rest stop toward the end of the day where she like missed the cutoff. I mean, she made the cutoff by like 30 minutes. And I was like, that's kind of getting, I don't like that. And then the cutoff after, and then the aid station after that, she got it. She made it by 7 minutes. And I went, oh boy. So I suited up and I got ready and got to the aid station where I was meeting her at mile 55. Got there at like 9:30 and 10:30 rolled around. Her husband and I were there and he was getting things ready. And I said, "You better like load up that stuff because if she does get through here, she's gonna be tight on time. Like she won't be able to hang out at all. We're just gonna have to like run right through." So the cutoff was 11:30, and sure enough, 11:20, 23, and I'm going, "This is not good." So 11:30 comes by, they call it. And at that point, she's dropped from the race. That's how it works. That's how it was with my race. I had a kind of an informal cutoff. I didn't really enforce it, but it does work that way. And it's a safety issue. They don't want people out for that long like that in that remote. It's pretty remote, especially for 100 miler. You're in the just fully remote. So anyway, at that point, I told her husband, I said, "I'm going to go get her," because I didn't know where she was, and I was worried that my buddy was not doing well, and so I jumped on the trail with my headlamp and ran about a mile in. She still was about a mile out, so it wasn't like a nail biter. She wasn't close to the cutoff at that point. So ran in a mile, and there she was, Trucker Sid, and just kicking ass, and she's feeling good and chatting away, and like unbelievable that she had just run 55 miles, like blew my mind. But her feet were in bad shape. She had a big, huge blister, and even the trail I ran in was very rocky and not like in a boxing movie sort of way, like just like craggly, like sharp rocks. And I can see how under fatigue you would get brutalized, the less, attention you're paying. And between that and the heat, I think her body said, "We're not doing this." But, her feet anyway, like she was actually in amazing shape, and she probably could have, I don't need to say probably, she totally could have finished the 100. Like it was not a cardiovascular thing. She wasn't even out of freaking breath. She was trucking along pretty good. But just, got the heat and the rocks, man, it was heavy duty. So very proud of her. And I ran her back out and, went home. She was like, "Okay, bye." And I just drove to a hotel, spent a full room's amount of money to sleep there for 4 hours. And I called Virgin America and said, "I want to fly home early." And they got me on an earlier flight. And by that, I mean, they charged me for it. And I flew home to be with my family on Saturday. So that was my pacing experience. Here's the thing. I did a YouTube video on it. It's called Just Show Up. I want you to watch that because it was an interesting experience during the day. I was shooting some video with the intent of doing a subject of that I've talked about even in the podcast, but of this kind of reality of the human experience where we can be fearful and nervous about something and then still do it. It's like at the same time, it's almost like the animal side of us, we perceive fear or we perceive danger and it makes us hesitant and just not wanting to do something. At the very same time, we do it because the higher self of us, whatever the hell that means, says, this is something I want to do. And I know that it's okay. I know that it's safe. I know that I'm going to be okay. I know that I can always stop if it's painful, but it doesn't stop the nervousness and the fear from going away. And this has been something that I've dealt with virtually my whole life and just gotten better and better about continuing to do stuff, not better and better about not feeling nervous or afraid, feeling those things, but just better and better, more experience of just moving right through that. And that was my original intent with the video. And that's how I was feeling with regard to running all night, because I've never done that. And it was 25 miles. And there was just, for me, nervousness and just being wanting to be a good pacer for Sid. And there's just a lot of stuff going on in my brain. And not running, and then having her stop the race at 55, I just felt totally at peace. Like, I showed up. You know, I showed up for my friend. I showed up to pace. She freaking showed up to the starting line. And it just made me think about things that we can do in our lives sometimes where just showing up to the starting line actually is enough. And she wasn't that upset. She was like, yeah, I mean, bummer, but not really. Like, it was very cool to kind of experience that for me. And I was like, not bummed that I didn't run 25 miles and prove to myself, like, I kind of did already. I proved it by getting there and with full 100% preparedness to just do it despite and in spite of how nervous I was. And I was not joking around that. I was like, God, this is going to be brutal. You know, just, I haven't stayed up all night since freaking college, you know, and just, or sometime in my 30s when I ate at IHOP at 5 a.m. with, yeah, okay, so that time. But other than that, never run all night. So, pace it. Okay, there we go. A little Slim Jim, a little pacing. Watch the video, YouTube. Boom. So let's get into business a little bit because there were some other things I wanted to jump in as usual. If you're just joining me, sorry about the rant last week, by the way. Were you hungover from that? Or did you just not? Did you like, yeah, no. You know that oil has still seeped into my pores? That's kind of a cool metaphor, right? This week, still dealing with today. Dealt with oil, dealt with the oil subject today. It, literally at work, like having to field like a semi-angry email about the oil we use and blah, 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 and just happen. It's the thing now. I have my finger on that pulse of that whole craziness. Okay. I don't know the Slim Jim culture, but I definitely know the oil culture. That thing's coming on strong. And so if you missed that episode, go back and listen, because I'm not going to rant on it again. In fact, I may not even deal with oil again, because what I'm dealing with is actually living healthy and happy in the modern world. You think those things are tied? They're not. They don't have to be. Okay? That's like a mini rant. It's like a rant. It's like a little one sentence rant. So I was thinking on a run last week how fascinated I constantly am. You know, I teach people at the inn, I'm at the wellness center, so I'll do classes. And then when I do classes, I'm not like deep like I am in the podcast. I'm more like nutrition, and I delve a little bit into the small steps thing, but really, like, people are just kind of coming to learn about nutrition, and I make it really fun and I hopefully funny and really accessible, but I don't go like past that of like, here's a steps list and let's play the me not me game and just freak you out and make you just check out early. You know what I mean? And so, but I do talk about this constant and consistent subject since I've been doing this now for 7 years straight and a lot of hundreds of classes, but I'm always fascinated and I always drive this point home to even just people who are just new to sort of my thing, that the body is so, it's what I always say is, like, you know, the body doesn't shut down. The body doesn't go on strike for all the things that we do to our bodies day to day. And it's a lot. And most of it is just rough. Let's just That's just, I mean, running all night, for instance. The body continues. It doesn't go on strike. It doesn't say, until you feed me the food that I'm designed for, I'm not going to do stuff. I'm just going to sit on my ass and do nothing. It doesn't say that. It says, okay, I'll deal with what you've given me. I'll do the best I can in that circumstance. And what I always say is, we are in charge of the circumstance. We, the mental part of us, the one that shows up in spite of the fear, that's the one that's in charge of the circumstance to say, I'm going to do better by you, body, or not. Or I'm not even going to think about it and just going to go by cravings. And the body's like, well, I'm going to crave that because that should be in nature, but it's not. And it's really salty and sugary and probably amazing for me because I assume it's going to be a natural thing you put in my body. The body has, I've said it before, an expectation of quality. It needs and expects things that are natural to it. It doesn't know what the heck a Twinkie is or a potato chip because it's not designed for that. So it's amazed when, in a sense, when that comes in and goes, geez, where did that come from? Like, I thought it was going to be something I could actually process with minimal wear and tear. So I am just fascinated at the strength, at the, and I think it ties into the mental strength that I believe you all and we all have. I am, but back onto the body, that there's this strength and this power there. Evolutionarily or wherever that comes from, it's there and it does amazing stuff. And I think I'm super fascinated with all the things in personally in my life and in my clients and with you guys too that are in contact with me. The stresses of life, the stresses of the modern world, the stresses of all the nutty nut stuff that happens to us and the body just keeps on trucking. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. It's like without our control or opinion, the body just keeps on trucking away. It keeps on detoxifying and it keeps on digesting and it keeps on moving and it keeps on thinking and hearing, smelling, touch, taste, and fighting infections. It may not do that well because of what we're doing to it, but it just keeps doing it. And I kind of feel, you know, like the body's just doing these things regardless of what we do. It's like in a way, it's like, yeah, go play the video games, but I'm just going to take care of business while you do that stuff. That's the body. It's just kind of like, yeah, you do your fun stuff. You try to figure stuff out, but I have it figured out. And I feel like many times, like I should just let that guy have a little more of a voice because he, and in this sense, like my body's a he. If you just don't even know, quiet, my body is a he. Don't, okay. And so I feel like I should let that guy have more of a voice. Like the guy who's, he does have his stuff together. He's got his crap together. He's like, I got this figured out. I'm going to keep the ship moving regardless of what you're figuring out or not. Like, you know, humans kind of have this experience. We use religion or we use spirituality or we use science or a combination of those things to try to figure these things out. I got to figure what's the protein that I got to do dial in the statistics and all these kinds of stuff. And we're trying to figure these things out. We're a very curious species. Fine, great. But meanwhile, the body just, yeah, I got it. I know what I need. I know what I need already. You either give it to me or not, but I know what I need. I know what I need to do the best job I can. That I know. And you're mired sometimes so much in your world that you're not even letting me freaking have a voice. And I think that part of the small steps approach is to, in a way, let your bodies have more of a voice. Let Mother Nature have more of a voice to get out of the way a little bit to balance out what the body already knows and to say, yeah. And I did a video, by the way, on what listening to your body actually means. And that is this thing. It's not cravings. It's the body tells you in ways that it manifests physically by being sick all the time or having fat around your midsection or having, you know, high cholesterol or having high blood pressure, all these kinds of modern world chronic fatigue and Crohn's disease and type 1 diabetes and other autoimmune type things. It's the body telling you, I'm overwhelmed. It's not that I don't understand how to do it. It's that I'm not able to do it. And if you could help me, I would do it better. And, you know, where genetics comes into play is because some people are dealt a better genetic hand. And so, you know, all things being equal, some bodies can deal with things better than other bodies, but it's not like each body isn't trying its best. And that's what I think is beautiful in a way. I think it's kind of awe-inspiring. And we humans want to go, I know better than you, body. I know better, so I'm going to put in these pills in you. And I, by the way, Mother Nature, I know better than you too. So you created some cool stuff, but I'm going to extract the cool stuff out of the things that you created them in, like lycopene out of a tomato. I'm just going to take that out and put it in a pill because I'm smarter than you. I know better than you do about how to make things work. But I think if you look just for a second, we don't know how to make things work better than Mother Nature. We really don't. And we don't know how to overthink. Our thinking doesn't help our bodies survive better. It's just, sorry, I mean, proof's in the pudding. You know, like look at the modern world, look at developed countries. We have access to better food than we've ever had. We have access to wealth and just an abundance of food. And yet we're not doing well. We're getting less healthy. Our health is going down, even though we have better access to health and healthy ability to be healthy than ever before in the history of mankind. And yet we're the least healthy species in the world. Why is that? Because I think part of it is that our minds or whatever that thing is get in the way of a natural drive in our bodies to be just what they are, which is healthy. I think I've always said that's like the natural state of the body is to be healthy. That's the body is like, you give me the stuff, all good. We're good. You don't have to try to lose weight, albeit a healthy weight. You don't have to try to lower your blood pressure. It'll be good. Just give me the stuff and I'll handle all the systems that are in place in our bodies. And I just, for my own thing, I just want to give my body a more of a voice. That's my own experience. The deep breaths I take throughout the day via my small steps of building in moments of deep breaths aren't really to lower my blood pressure or lower my heart rate. They're to give my body what it needs to do those things itself. So I think it's a subtlety there. And I just want you guys to just kind of mull that over a little bit. It's again, like everything that's small steps, everything in my podcast is a way of thinking. And it's you could say, well, you take deep breaths to lower your heart rate. I want a difference. I want you guys to value your bodies. That's the deal. It's about valuing your bodies. And then I go one step further in my podcast to say it's also about valuing your mind, the you of this equation, not the you from before, but the you, like who you are, and putting value to that. And letting it roll from there. And I think learning how to do that over time, or at least building in a practice in your life to learn how to do that better over time. And this plays into sort of a little bit what I also was thinking recently, which is about success. And just like the general, of course, I was thinking about it with the whole Sid pacing thing, because I go super successful day for her. Like she freaking showed up to a 100-miler. Like that's just brave and nutty in the best way. And so full success. But it made me think how my own brain, like how programmed we are to consider that success is money driven. And I'm not anti-money. I'm not saying I make a living like everybody else and I would like to make more money, let's say. But it is so far down the list of what I conceptually understand to be what success is. But it still nags me. Like it's still this thing of like, there's like a conflict in me because I'm naturally like, Tom Cruise makes $16 million a film or whatever it is. And I don't, technically, I don't care. But I guess the battle with me is I want my idea of success, which for me is doing good work, contributing to the world, having a rich family life. Those are the things that define being healthy, like being happy and healthy. That's success for me. Where does money play into that? I guess to just enable me to do those things better, like to get a camera that I can then shoot my videos because I feel like that's a good contribution, to have a microphone that I can do my pop, et cetera, et cetera. Like that's kind of where money fits in. And yet there's still this in the world, I still find myself looking at how much somebody makes as a sign of success, even though I freaking know better. And it just shows me how programmed we are in, at least in United States, and I'm guessing most places in the world, you guys, because I've got, you know, I think 102 countries have downloaded this podcast. Like, it's amazing. And so I think it's a problem because it's the conflict. That's it. And to say that conflict shouldn't exist, it does. And so it's not really a problem. It's a situation, like I say. There's no problems or situations when I go, what's the workaround? Well, the workaround is that I make in my own life efforts to be clear more day to day of what I believe success to be. And I want success for me to be that and not be a cop-out of like, I can't make millions of dollars, so therefore I'm going to define success as everything that's not monetary. No, it is success as the way that I see it, because that's how I the me of the me, not me game, how I define it. And the less I can get swept up into the BS of the kind of People magazine culture, and I don't read that, I'm just saying, the better for me. And I know that every time. I mean, I'll pick up a People magazine from a doctor's office, and you know, it's like you get swept up into that thing. It's a powerful sell, the way that media is. They know what they're doing. It's a powerful sell. But in many cases, it's antithetical to our own health and happiness. And I think that the clearer, again, we are with who we are, and the clearer we are with what we think of as success truly, it's probably at the end of the day a confidence issue, because I, for me, have to have the confidence to be okay with the success, not just okay, but ecstatic with the success as how I see it. I consider myself extremely successful. That doesn't mean that I don't feel like, man, I wish I had more listeners on my podcast. Man, I wish I had more subscribers on my YouTube channel. Like, I feel those things, but they're not, I'm better at not letting those things dictate my actions. I'll just put it that way. They're not dictating my actions. They're not making me change this podcast into something I think would sell better. And trust me, I have a pretty good idea of what I could do to make this podcast sell better. I have a pretty good idea what I could do in my YouTube channel to make it sell better, to get more subscribers. But it's not dictating that to me, and that is success for me. I think that for you guys to define success for you really is a useful thing. It's part and parcel to the idea of knowing who you truly are, because success to me is just simply being more of who I am day to day. It's exactly the work that I do with my clients. It's so far beyond and outside of food, I can't even tell you. I'm glad that I'm a nutritionist to be able to field questions in the meal plan and to field questions with clients. But that's where it stops. It's like, I want people to learn how to take moments throughout the day more and more to be who they are and to remember who they are. And that's success for me. I wanted to touch on that. I felt myself for some reason, I've got a family and I'm very regular in many respects. I'm odd. I'm not saying that, but I'm just like a dad. My wife and I both work full time. I got three kids. I'm raising kids. I'm putting them to, you know, they're in school. Like, it's very normal in many respects of what I do. And so I've got the same struggles as pretty much everybody I know, you know? And so success plays in of like, am I a successful father? Am I a successful, you know, person in general? Am I a successful husband? And what the definitions of those things are, and how can I achieve them and be more, in a way, more aware and more grateful of the success I already do have. And I believe that I'm pretty damn successful. And it's not because I'm driving a freaking Rolls Royce. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I think you do. I think we conceptually know money doesn't buy you happiness. And yet we kind of think over our shoulders like, man, if I had 16 million, you know, and I don't know what that's like. I know what I'm doing now. I know what I'm doing now, and I'm doing it pretty damn well. And so I don't know if that money would just make it things a lot worse. I don't know. There's no way to know, but there's also no reason for me to think about that either, because I'm doing pretty well and I'm working better to do better. Got it? I don't know why I shared that with you. I know why, because it's part of the freaking podcast. That's why. Do I have to answer all the questions I ask you? I mean, not all my questions are rhetorical. I would expect sometimes that somebody would answer me, and you guys never speak up. I've got headphones on. I don't hear one person talking. It's very rude. In fact, I feel like I'm ignored. So on that note, I wanted to touch a little bit just because of feedback I get on occasion from people. I've touched on this before, and I'll touch on it again, especially if you're just joining me. How frustrated we get when we are with people in our lives that aren't doing well for themselves, and we love them and we want them to do better because we think we know better, and so we want them to do better. And I think I've definitely been there too. But what I want to tell you is you better practice before you preach. This is a huge thing with a small stepping world that I'm communicating, my brand of small steps. You practice what you preach. And I'm going to be pretty blunt here. You keep your mouth shut until you do. And I, sorry to say that, I'm not going to walk on eggshells because you guys, we're all BFFs. I mean, please. It's frustrating to keep our mouths shut. But think about this. The more you keep your mouth shut until you practice what you preach, the faster you get there because you're not as out of criticizing everybody else. And I'm not saying not be judgmental. I'm going to do a whole episode on judgment pretty soon. Be judgmental. Just don't voice it. But know what you find to be valuable and what you don't. It's part of what makes us human. And definitely the me, not me game is a game of judgment. How much faster we get to our goals when we understand that we can't influence others until we do, until we get to our goals, until we start living the life that we want to communicate to somebody else that they should do, we can't influence. Until we get to that life, we can't. And that goes for, especially with children too. Like, my goal is to first practice what I preach because here's one thing I've learned as a health coach. This is the one thing. It doesn't make much difference if I preach, if my children look at me and go, yeah, but you're not doing any of that stuff. You tell us to be honest, but you're lying. I mean, that would be that kind of thing. Like, yeah, that's true. Like, I don't want them to think, yeah, but. I don't ever want my kids to have a, yeah, but. That's not how I want to be. That's not success. You want to talk about success? That ain't success. I want my kids to live healthy. I want them to be happy in their lives. I want them to have the tools to pursue their own dreams, not my dreams, their dreams. I want that to happen for them. Therefore, my first and foremost goal with me and my wife for her is to be as healthy and happy as we can be as parents so that our kids see that. And then if I am talking about it, it's because I freaking walked the walk. And that's just supremely important. But man, is it frustrating, especially with loved ones, you know, not kids necessarily, because we're in charge of kids and our own kids, and that's fine. But with friends, extended family that we see brutalizing themselves, and we want to just go, what are you doing? Like, you shouldn't do that. You should do this and this and this. If they're looking back at you and going, yeah, but you're not doing that well, then close the mouth. Close your mouth. Get clear on who you are and start getting closer to that thing. Trust me, it works. They will get it. They will get it when you get it. They will get to their goals better, which may be their goals when you get to yours. Okay. I know it's frustrating and I know it's the last thing you want to hear possibly, but that's what it is. And I just can't get that across more and more. It's, in a way, it's a waste of time to deal with other people like that. Now, here's the exception. They come to you and ask for help. Of course, if they come to you and ask for help, of course. I'm a nutritionist. I don't dole it out. But if somebody asks me, happy, more than happy to help. Okay. But who's going to ask you? That's what I want to know. That's what you should want to know. Are people asking you? Because if they're not asking you, maybe it's because they don't necessarily think that you're living that well. That's their business. The only question you need to ask is, are you living well? Can you live closer to who you are? Are you as happy as you want to be? Are you as healthy as you want to be? Put all your energy there. Trust me, it gets out into the world big time. Big time. Okay. All right, you guys, listen, I'm going to jump into the subject of this week's podcast. Did you think I was ending? Sometimes I go, all right, you guys, and that means I'm ending the podcast. I actually thought I was ending. I just got up from the stand. I was like, okay, I guess he's done. And my body was like, yeah, I don't know what the podcast, just, can you just give me some more fruit? Because I'm kind of cool with that. Free of hope, free of the past. Now, my guess, and this is conservatively, -4 of you know that's a line from a Vic Chestnut song. Okay. Less than 0 of you know that's a Vic Chestnut song. And that's sad for me. Maybe one of you, there was a guy in Canada. We traded emails a couple years ago. He probably doesn't listen to the podcast anymore, but he knew Vic Chestnut. Vic Chestnut is one of my favorite singer songwriters. Really nutty, like in a great chestnut. I mean, he's got it right in his name. He's chestnutty nut. He died a couple years ago. So that's probably disrespectful what I just said. But he's a brilliant songwriter, and I love him. He was a huge influence, not like aesthetically the way that songs are, but just he is a very free songwriter and very just like no rules attached. And that was what really got to the core of me. So anyway, Free of Hope, Free of the Past was I was listening to him. I haven't listened to him in a while, and I got some songs back on my phone during my San Diego trip, and I threw some of them on there and just got swept into the whole Vic Chestnut world. It's not mainstream, just I'll put it that way. It may not be for you, but whatever. It's pretty damn good. But he's got this one song called Free of Hope, and it made me think about this week's podcast. And so the thought was this, that what happiness comes down to, and this is, I'm going to draw the same similarity between our bodies and our minds. This is kind of really works for me. What happiness comes down to is, and I always say it's not an all or nothing proposition. It comes down to the proportion of the times in our lives when we act in accordance with who we are versus the times we don't. I'll say that one more time. How happy we are comes down to the proportion of times in our lives when we act in accordance with who we are versus those times that we don't. The choices we make in the moments, not the past, not thinking about the past, not hoping for a better future, but just in between the consideration of where we've come from and the consideration of where we want to go, there's moments that make up our day, that make up millions of times throughout our day, little things. And the more we act in accordance with who we are versus the times we don't, that's how happy we are. That's how happy you all are. That's how happy I am. There's not a number to it. You're not 7.4 happy. It's just, if you want to be happier, you adjust the proportion over time, I believe, via my approach to small steps. That's what I'm selling here every week, but that's my thing. If you have another way to do it that way. But the proportion of times where those choices become more in line with who you are. And over time, you do more of that and less of the times where you're in conflict, where you do something that you regret, you do something that you're ashamed about, versus the times where you do something that you are in line with, that you go, yeah, it feels, you don't even have to comment on it. It just feels good. It feels right there. And I was talking to a client today, actually, about this very thing, because it's not like, let's talk about food for a second. It's not like I've ever advised somebody to be 100% heavy box all the time. I'm not 100% heavy box all the time. And I'm not saying you should be like me. I'm just saying I'm not. The thing that I want to be isn't militantly, this comes back to the oil thing, right? I don't want to be militantly heavy box, just 100% of the time, no ifs, ands, or buts. That just doesn't work for me. If I were a professional athlete, maybe I would just 100% of the time, but probably then I would have an off season and lay low a little bit. I don't know. Not there. Don't ever want to be there. It's not my bag. But what I want is not that you go, well, I want to be healthy and happy, so therefore I can never stray from what I know. And I know that this isn't good for me, so I can never, ever, ever, ever do that. I talked about it last week, I think. Like, sometimes we just never do stuff because it doesn't work. Like, I'm an alcoholic and I don't drink ever. Like, that's how, I'm not really an alcoholic, but if I were, I wouldn't drink ever. That would be that thing. But for me, I eat healthy most of the time. That's works for me. And when I communicate that to clients, I just want to make sure they know that I'm not helping them get to a place where they can be militant. I'm helping them get to a place where if they do have something that's less than healthy, it's because they're in charge, they're choosing to do it, and there's still no regret or shame. What I want is for people to be acting more such that they don't feel shame and regret. That's, to me, the less you feel day-to-day shame and regret, the less you do stuff day-to-day where you go, on some level, I wish I didn't do that, or I'm not happy when I do that, and I keep going back to that thing because I'm drawn to it because of cravings, or I'm drawn to it because of pressure, but then after I do it, I just wish I didn't do it, and it's not making me happy long-term, but I keep doing it. I mean, this is unusual. It's not unusual. We keep doing things, and when we're calm and sort of at center and kind of connected, if somebody said, do you want to be doing that? You'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. But when I'm tired and when I'm vulnerable and I've got kids and I'm exhausted from my job, I end up doing that thing and I regret it. But again, what I'm communicating to my clients is sometimes the better you get at this, you might do a thing that's again, not healthy that before you would have regretted, but now that you're in charge, you go, most of the time I'm not doing that, so I'm going to do it right now and I'm not going to regret. And actually, the cool thing about this process, by the way, is you actually enjoy it more. You enjoy it more because there is no conflict around it. There is no shame. There is no regret. You dive in more fully and you go, I've been living pretty damn well most days. I eat really well most days. So I can afford this thing as a treat, as a more mental treat, and I'm not going to feel bad about it. So all the better. Like I'm out to dinner with friends and so I don't have to freaking sweat the one-off. I don't have to ask for special no oil stuff. There comes the oil thing, right? Freaking chaps my high. I don't have to do that. Because I'm okay. I'm all right. I can dive in and not worry about this whole thing. Okay? Now, again, there's some things I never do. There's some things I never do for reasons not nutritional. So I don't do them. But again, there's no conflict for me around that. I'm not regretting that decision. That just works for me personally. But here's the thing about health. Because I was talking about happiness. The proportion of times we act in accordance with who we are versus when we don't. Health, same thing. Comes down to the proportion in food anyway. The proportion of calories we get from healthy foods versus the proportion versus the calories we get from unhealthy food. That's how good your diet is. It's not a good or bad thing. It's like that's where your diet is. That's where your health, physical health based on food is. It is a proportion of the heavy box calories versus the light box calories. If you want more health in your life, you simply adjust the proportions to get a little more of the heavy box calories versus light box calories. If you guys are interested in sort of caloric concentration, because it's not about volume of food, it's about caloric. So I did a video on YouTube on my channel, which is called Caloric Concentration. So go look at that. You can see the same calories of different kinds of food. So it kind of gives you an idea of how food really works in our bodies. The way that I look at health and happiness is simply to remove over time physical conflict by putting food in our bodies that isn't in line. It's like I said before, when we put junk food in our bodies, it might be mentally fun in the moment, but it's not in accordance with the design of our bodies. It's not. It's in conflict. So how minimally that conflict is in your life. Mental, same thing. When we do something to somebody that we, you know, let's say we did something mean to somebody, it's not, I don't believe this. I don't believe it's in accordance with what I think is basic human nature, which I think is of kindness, I think that that's there. I think there's abominations of that, but I think in general, we generally are humane at our core. We are compassionate at our core when we actually let ourselves be compassionate. It's like when we get out of the way and actually allow ourselves to be compassionate. When we get out of the way of our bodies and allow our bodies to be healthy, the body's going to hit that state. It's going to hit that state. The free of hope idea, the free of the past idea is to sit more often in the middle, to be liberated from how you've been defined, to be liberated of concerns of how you wish your life would be. I hope I'm going to make more money next year. I hope I'm going to do that. I'm going to get into that and be more focused on I'm free of the past. I'm free of hope of the future. It's a in-between place to be. And I always ask people, and I'll ask you, how much of your life is filled with can'ts and shouldn'ts? And how much of your life is filled with can and will? I shouldn't do that. I can't do that. I probably shouldn't. Or how about should? I should probably do that. Versus, yeah, I can do that. I will do that. I can do that, and I will do that. And that's the place. That's the place in between. I should do that is like a future that you're thinking of. I should probably do that because somebody told me I should do exercise, so I should probably do that. Why? Because eventually I'm hoping to be healthier, happier down the line. Or I shouldn't because I learned something in the past that it's a rule that was applied on top of me. I probably shouldn't do that. I know because of past experience. And then there's the moment in between where you go, I can do that. I'm free of both past and future for this moment, just for a second. And I can do that. And I'm going to do that. I will do that. The shoulds and the can'ts and the shouldn'ts are based on past. They're based on the future. They're based on what we've learned and what we want our lives to be, but they take away from the experience of the moment. And I think it's good to know what kind of ideal life you want to live, because I think that that's leads you to understand who you truly are. I think that it leads you to understand the what you value and you don't, but you're not bogged down by the hoping, I hope, just thinking about how much you want that life. I just want, and in the moment, regardless of whether you become that thing down the line or not, the value of the moment, when you can put your brain in the moment, when you can say, right now, what would I do? Right now, what would the person that I truly am, what would I do? That value of that moment carries you to the next moment, and that carries you to the next moment. And then you screw up a little bit, you don't act in the light, and you go, okay, yeah, that wasn't me, good. Okay, what would I do in this moment? And even when you screw up, you go, see, I would have done that differently. I did that thing, but the real me, would have done that differently. Good to know. It is all about the particular action in the moment, because here's the truth, there's literally nothing else. There is no future. There is no past. There is only what is going on in the moment. And what the question is, what informs your decisions in the moment? Is it how you've been raised? Is it what people have told you you are? Or is it what you hoped that you were going to make more money and that kind of skews your in the moment, free of those things? What would you do? All things being equal, what would you do? And I was wondering, and I'll kind of finish up with this thought, which is maybe it's that I'm getting older. You know, I'm 47, and I know that that's not as old as some people and older than other people. I mean, just that's a fact, right? I mean, I'm no scientist, but I think I made a really strong point there. 47 is not as old as some people and older than some people. Okay, look, you come to me because I'm a freaking expert. I can lay down that kind of wisdom, no problem. It's a mushroom coffee too. It goes right to my brain. But maybe it's because I'm getting older. But this is not for you guys necessarily, but I'm becoming less concerned with the why and more with the what. Like day to day, I'll catch myself going, I wonder why. And I'm just like, no, I don't care. I don't freaking care. I don't care. Because every time I wonder about why I do this or why I do that or why I'm still nervous at 47 to run all night, I go, I don't care. I don't want to know why. I don't want to know why, because it takes away from the moment where I walk up to the starting line, I show up at that aid station to run with my pal Sid. And it's like, that's the stuff of life. I don't want to know why I'm still feeling this. I want to know, am I able to show up to the freaking starting line? That's what I want to know. If you're living a fulfilling life right now, if you're happy, is the why that really that important? Is it really that important? I could find out probably by going to some sort of therapy to find out why I was fearful of doing the pacing thing or nervous about it. But I don't need to. I showed up. I don't know. And I'm not to say that, listen, I understand and I have recommended clients go in therapy. I've done it all the time because I'm not a therapist. And there are things sometimes when I've worked with people that are so heavy and they need context and they need information. They need a why. And I get it. Okay. And if it was something going on seriously with me where I wasn't happy and it was literally in the way of my happiness, I would go there. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me in my life right now, I am so much less concerned with the why because it's not debilitating to me. The things that I come up against in my life, most of the time, I show up in spite of. And therefore, moments where I have to try to consider the why, I just don't give a crap. I mean, I still will ask, and when I catch myself, don't give a crap. And I want to know, what more work can I do? What more can I do in by way of contributions into the world? What's my next video idea? What's the next thing I can teach a client? What's the next project I can do? What's the next book I can write? What's the next podcast subject? How do you exist? How do I exist? Free of hope most of the time and free of past most of the time. It seems like it's a vacuum. It seems like, well, I don't know who I would be if I didn't know my past and I didn't have an idea or hope for a better future. And I believe that you do know exactly who you are because you can shed those things and have moments where you act in a certain way and nobody needs to tell you that it was a right or wrong thing to do because you know at just the depth of your soul that it's the right thing. You go, that just felt freaking right on the money. I did an episode once, I think it was called The Moving Now. I mean, I've done 142. So I'm at the point now where like I forget, did I do an episode on that? Like I've done that many where now I'm forgetting. So great. Luckily, you can only get the last 50 on iTunes. So I can replay old episodes and just put a new number on them. Bree would know, but I did an episode on Revisit the Moving Now, which is, it is a moving now. It's always a series of moments. And it's how you behave in those moments that determines your happiness day to day. And can, by the way, influence your level of health day to day. Because in those moments, those are the moments where you're choosing the food in that moment, where you're choosing to run or to move your body in whatever way makes you happy. This is about the moment. And you don't necessarily need to know the why to know exactly how you would act in any given moment. If you had all sort of cards were lined up correctly, you'd go, I just do that. I believe chances are if you didn't know your past, you'd still have a pretty darn good idea and ironically, probably a better idea of what choices you'd make each moment. I think you probably know that. The only question is, of course, in the modern world, are we taking enough time to find that out day to day? Are there enough moments in our lives where we are free of hope and free of the past, where we exist in between and at one with who we are? How many of those moments fill up your day versus how many moments fill up your day of regret and shame and obligation and should and can't and limitation and militancy and rigidity? If you want more happiness and you want more health, you freaking upset the balance. You upset the balance by easing your way in with new behaviors and new choices based on who you are, in accordance with what I think is the natural state of your mind and the natural state of your body. And you move through these moments more often than not. All right? All right, you guys. It was a pleasure once again, and I'm happy that I'm here coming to you each week, and I'll be here next week because you know I will be. You can email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. That's podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. I say it before and I've said it again. I really, really, really appreciate the support of all of you for this podcast, especially by way of iTunes reviews and book reviews and or donations and buying stuff off my website. It all helps. It's huge. It's not ever, ever underappreciated by me. I'll tell you that much. But in the very least, come here each week. You don't have to do anything except for come here. Hopefully this adds a little happiness into your life, maybe even some health, hopefully both. And maybe gives you a brief respite of a crazy world that we live in. And it's not all bad. There's some amazingly awesome stuff in this world. And I just want you to get more in touch with that stuff. Okay? More in touch with the stuff that really gives us the juice, that makes us happy and healthy and vibrant and fun and joy-seeking and adventure-seeking and all that cool stuff. All right, you guys? All right. Thanks for everything. As always, I appreciate all of you who come here each week to listen to this. And it's been an awesome experience. Okay? 143 next week. All right, guys. In the meantime, be well.
When you sleep, sleep unbroken sleep. Fall to a place where all is sweet. Slowly drifting there. Dream of simple things. Dream of the dream of kings and queens. Dream of found things. And your sweet way. So silent and safe. I hope I will always be what you want me to be. to a sky that is almost blue, to wishes that always come true. So sadness will not look on you. So silent and safe, I hope I will always be what you want me to be. And your sweet way, so silent and safe, I hope I will always be what you want me to be.